Hi, everybody, and welcome back to the Passion Podcast. This is our first November edition, and we are getting closer and closer to Passion 2015. Before that, Thanksgiving is just around the corner, and we're not going to get into that this year, Brad, but I hope people are getting their turkey frying plans together because there is no such thing as a Thanksgiving without a fried turkey. It's not that complicated. You just Google it. You don't need Uncle Louie to help you do it. You don't need me to walk you through all the steps again this year. But I'm telling you, this is the one thing I will tell you that it will not tell you on Google. Wear shoes that you don't mind having destroyed. Okay, that's the key because you're going to spill the oil at some point in the turkey frying expedition. And you do not want to spill that over, splash it over on shoes that you're going, wait a minute, I just got peanut oil on my really brand new, you know, Nike running shoes or whatever. So get some old shoes you don't care about. The rest of it you can get on Google. Just do it. It makes Thanksgiving so great. You'll be the hero of Thanksgiving. You will save Thanksgiving for your family. Little children will gather around the counter while you are carving up this turkey, and they will drool, and they will stand and stare, and you'll become legendary. And you could catch them on fire. You could, you know, burn up the front yard. Other things have happened in the past as well that are legendary in our family history. But if you get that thing right, it's going to be the best Thanksgiving of all. You're going to fry one this year, Brad?
I hate to admit this, Louie. I've never had fried turkey.
Never, ever had a fried turkey?
Never.
Oh, my word. Well, we're going to fix that sooner or later. And I don't know if we can do it at Thanksgiving because I'll be in one place and you'll be in another. But me and you are just going to go fry a turkey. When this is over today, we're going to go fry a turkey.
We'll let you know how it tastes.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I know how it's going to taste already. I don't need you to let me know that. It's going to be the best thing you've ever put in your mouth. But we're going to do that today. We're going to get that taken care of today. By the way, just letting people know, because it is middle of November, the Passion Take It All Tour is winding down, and we've had an amazing journey. I got to be out in Florida a couple of weeks ago, three incredible nights. You were there in one of the Florida nights, maybe four of the best back-to-back-to-back-to-back nights we had on the tour.
For sure. You were also...
Just jump in there at any point, Brad. Yeah. I mean, you know, anytime that you want to, yeah, you know, participate in what's going on, you just feel free to jump on in. But I do know you ended up in Clearwater, I think it was.
Tampa. Clearwater. Through the roof. I mean, this is a 25-city tour. It is going to be hard to beat that night in Tampa, but just so special when people walk through the door expectant, people gathering from all over South Florida. Mm-hmm. It was amazing.
Yeah, I don't really, and I'm not trying to say this to be a, you know, kind of an idiot, but there is something really special about touring in Florida. And Chris and I have toured, obviously, all over the country, back and forth, every city. And there's always something about being in the Tampa area. West Palm's always amazing, the Panhandle even. And I don't know, Florida, what you've got going on, but it's really, really special, and we love those four nights. But we're ending with three incredible nights. York, Pennsylvania.
Yep.
We're going to be in the Baltimore, D.C. area, or the Baltimore area more, and then Williamsburg, Virginia, the very last night, bringing it home.
Virginia.
I don't know what the College of William and Mary is about.
The tribe.
Oh, yeah. I don't know what the tribe's all about, but they need to rise up. A tribe would do that. A tribe would rise up. A tribe would come with one voice. A tribe would come strong. A tribe would come loud and ready. And they need to send this Take It All Tour out on a really high note. So
it's a lot of pressure.
We're counting on that. They have this mascot there at the College of William and Mary. It's sort of an eagle, but it's kind of like it's named Griffin.
I don't know if that really inspires me to fight.
And so we got the tribe with a mascot named Griffin. And I'm not knocking that because I'm obviously Auburn Tigers and we got War Eagle and all that business. But Griffin is pretty interesting. If you don't know anything about the College of William and Mary, you should just go Google them and look at Griffin, the mascot. he's kind of Sasquatch meets eagle, kind of, sort of. He's cool, though. I like him, and we need him. We need him that night. We need Griffin to show up.
Griffin's going
to
show up.
The Passion Take It All Tour.
We're going to add him to the special guest list.
And put him on the list. Leave him a ticket.
You got a ticket.
Put him at will call, and it's going to be incredible, though. So if you're in York, Pennsylvania, you need to go online to Passion Conferences right now because there's that date is right on top of you. If you're in Columbia, Maryland, near Baltimore, you want to be a part of this night, go online right now. And if you're in Williamsburg, Virginia, please make it a great ending for us because it's been a phenomenal run. Started all the way out on the West Coast, and we've kind of made our way back around to beautiful little Williamsburg, Virginia.
Yeah, 25 cities with the Take It All album, with the Passion Band. It really has been phenomenal.
Yeah, speaking of albums, can we talk about this really fast? And by the way, we've got Matt Chandler on the Passion Podcast today, speaking at Passion Houston, coming up on Super Bowl weekend, Houston, Texas, Passion 2015. If you don't have tickets for that and you're somewhere around Texas or the western part, southwestern part of America, you need to be thinking about that while we're on the podcast today. But Matt Chandler is the pastor of the Village Church in Dallas, Texas, several locations there, head of that Acts 29 Church Planting Network, I mean, author, brain cancer survivor, phenomenal communicator, and he's going to be on with us on this podcast in just a couple of minutes. But before we get to that, I want to let people know that we have a resource just in time for the holiday season. To me, that means Christmas, but I know some people listening to this are probably already in the holiday season because they just couldn't wait, and it's almost Black Friday, and they're fired up. So if that's you, I want you to be looking for this when you go out doing your shopping after Thanksgiving. Hopefully, it's after Thanksgiving. It's Passion, the Essential Collection, and I'm holding it in my hand. I've never even held it in my hand before. It's pretty amazing. It's this thing is CDs, DVD videos of songs, and then a few talks and messages. And so there are 15 songs on here from across the arc of Passion. This will make such a great gift for people who've been a part of Passion, honestly, and they can remember a lot of these moments and a way to introduce the music and the message of Passion to other people. 15 songs. I'm just going to touch on them really fast, Brad. Not everyone.
Okay.
Because we got Matt Chandler coming. And Matt's interview, by the way, is a little bit serious. I mean, it really is, and I love that. I mean, he talks a little bit about his battle with brain cancer. He talks about how his view of God helped him navigate that. He's really honest about that journey and talks about what he sees in the church today. And I think if you're in that boat of really struggling between wanting God to be glorified, but also you're dealing with something, you want to see a miracle in your life, you're going to really resonate with what Matt has to share today. Just looking down the track list on here, Holy is the Lord, One Thing Remains, 10,000 Reasons, Our God, How He Loves with Crowder, Healing is in Your Hands, Christie's version of that, Whom Shall I Fear, The God of Angel Armies, You Never Let Go from Matt Redman, Amazing Grace, My Chains Are Gone, Better as One Day, Charlie Hall, so great, In Christ Alone, God of This City, Like a Lion, Waiting Here for You, and How Great is Our God. I mean, just really spanning the journey of Passion and all of our artists and their unique flavors and gifts. So beautiful. So those are that's the CD side of it. But then we got video versions of The Lord Our God with Christian, Let It Be Jesus, Christy Knuckles, Mercy from Matt Redman. That was recorded at our Lyft Worship Leader Conference here. White Flag, Here's My Heart with Crowder. My Heart is Yours with Christian, and God's Great Dance Floor from The Dome, Craziness, Chris Tomlin. Then we got four talks by this Louis Giglio guy. Let's Work It Out. That was from back at Passion 2010, if anybody remembers that. Nashville, Tennessee, I think, maybe.
No, that was
Atlanta, Georgia. Thank you. We Will Carry the Name. Now, that was one of my favorites. Raised to Life by the Breath of a Living God. That was in The Dome, talking about Ezekiel 37, and then Crushed by Grace from last year. All that on one resource. And
unreal.
I don't know for sure. I can't guarantee this for sure, but I think this is like about $14.99 or $13.99 or something like that in a store. So you get to take this baby, stuff all the stockings of all the people you know. It's a great gift for your family, for friends, or whatever. So that's called Passion, the Essential Collection. It's
that's
a box
awesome.
Set, collector's edition. And you're going to love it. The booklet's beautiful. The design's beautiful. Everything about it's beautiful.
What,
and it's way
so
more beautiful than what you're going to get on Spotify, because you're not going to get all this on Spotify. And you're not going to really help us continue to do this on Spotify. But you want to hold this in your hand. You want to give this as a gift to somebody. It's actually beautiful.
What's so cool about hearing you list all those songs is so many of them have been anthems of my faith since I was in high school when I first heard Better As One Day. And it's just cool to have so many of them on one album, be able to remember all of that.
It's so great. And it just really makes me stop and say, thank you, Jesus, just for the journey that we've been on. And, you know, it really is incredible, the things that God's let us be a part of. And no less Passion 2015 just on the horizon. Atlanta number one has sold out January 2nd to
Come
the 4th.
On.
So if you want to get into that, you got to beg, barter, borrow, trade, you know.
Call Louie.
Yeah. Well, that's right. Yeah, I'll give you that number a little bit later. Go on Craigslist. I'm sure somebody's going to be selling. Somebody needs tickets for this. There's going to be people wanting to swap probably from Passion Atlanta 2. Passion Atlanta 2, by the way, still going strong. You can register for that today. Speaking there is none other than Judah Smith. Christine Kane is speaking there. John Piper is speaking there. I'm excited to be speaking with all those guys at Atlanta 2. And then we've just added, as a speaker for Passion Atlanta 2, that we should get a little woohoo from the studio here.
Okay.
For everybody in the studio. On. We've just added, as a speaker, Lecrae, people.
Come on.
Lecrae speaking at Passion Atlanta 2. And that's not a misprint. People are thinking, I don't know why they got him in the speaker category. Don't they know that he's a rapper? It's like, yes, we do know Lecrae's a rapper. He is actually our hometown friend here in Atlanta, Georgia. But Lecrae's also a theologian, and he's going to bring something great to Passion Atlanta number 2. And I'm so excited to be welcoming all these guys to be speaking alongside me and our team and leading alongside us at Passion Atlanta 2. Coming to Houston, you're going to get none other than Ben Stewart.
Come on.
I mean,
gig
I'm
him.
So excited
gig
about
him.
That. I mean, this guy only leads the largest collegiate gathering a weekly in America, 5,000, 6,000, 7,000, 8,000 college students every week coming together at Texas A&M University. Christine Kane is going to be speaking in Houston. Oof. Matt Chandler, who's coming just in a few minutes on the podcast, and Francis Chan, the Chan Man.
Man.
And I just want to say the Chan Man is on Twitter, people. So
what?
All these people that have been calling for Francis Chan to get on Twitter and hashtag Francis Chan. Francis Chan is on Twitter.
I missed that.
He has arrived, and I think his staff does most of it, but he's there. No, I think it actually says that on the deal. I think it says this is run by the Crazy Love people. But hey, Francis Chan is on Twitter. So if you've been waiting for that, guess what? Your prayers have been answered. That's one small thing. You're going to get to eat your fried turkey. You get to tweet Francis Chan. It's going to be a Thanksgiving to be remembered, and that's something that we're all excited about.
Can I just mention one thing about Passion Houston real quick?
Absolutely.
To all the Aggies out there, and in my opinion, Texas A&M is the elite school in our country, the elite institution for higher education. But there's a lot of Longhorns, a lot of Baylor Bears that are getting a little cocky about having a lot of people in the Toyota Center. And it's just time for the Aggies just to rise up.
So you're saying right now the Aggies are not representing strong.
I'm saying they need to be stronger. They need to rise up.
It would really hurt you if you got there and there were way more Baylor Bears and way more Texas Longhorns and way more TCU Horned Frogs and way more Houston Cougars and way more Sam Houston State
Bearcats
and on and on and on.
I mean,
Abilene Christian Cowboys may have more people there for all I know.
The Hardin-Simmons Cowboys.
I mean, the Hardin-Simmons Cowboys.
Those campuses need Jesus, but we need to lead the way. Come on, Aggies. So just rise up.
Yeah, so that we're all going to do this together. We're putting our hands together. We can't really do that because we're not alumnus. But we're in our minds. We're slapping our hands together. We're pointing our fingers. We're doing our hands up in the air like the bear.
Are you mocking us?
No. I think it's the greatest thing going.
Do you really think that?
I think Texas A&M has some of the best school spirit, period, worldwide.
Thank you. I received that on behalf of all of our former students.
I only know one school that actually buried their mascots outside the stadium in such a position that they could see the scoreboard from their graves so they could see when Texas A&M was beating Texas, which is not often, but that they could see the reality of that. Now, come on, things have changed. The landscape changed. Okay, let's get off all that because we got Longhorns mad, we got Aggies mad, we got everybody upset, and we're trying to unify people in the spirit of living for the glory of God, living for the fame of Jesus. We're trying to bring people together, not drive people apart. So Aggies, come on, and let's pull together.
Longhorns, come on.
Longhorns, come on.
LSU Tigers.
Oh, come on.
Raiders.
How about New Mexico State?
The Aggies.
So we're going to get Aggies and Aggies together at Passion Houston. It's going to be incredible. Oklahoma Sooners is going to be sitting right next to Oklahoma State Cowboys and Tulsa Golden Tornadoes, Hurricanes. They're golden. Yeah, we got to figure that out. We should know that. They're the Golden Hurricanes, I'm pretty sure. No, that's not a hurricane in Tulsa. Somebody look that up, please.
I think it's the Golden Eagles.
The Golden Eagles of Tulsa. What is it? Really?
I think Golden Hurricane it is.
Oh, it is a hurricane. We had it. Okay, so we had it. Thank you very much, Tulsa. We had you. But has there ever been a hurricane in Tulsa?
No.
Okay, great. So, hey, one last thing. Matt Chandler is going to be on in 1 second, Brad. I think it'd be cool if we just went off the grid right here. And I'm making an executive decision right now, and I hope I survive because all the leaders of Passion Conference are sitting in this room right now. But I think it would be cool because we just had a big price increase day before yesterday. I think it would be great because I'm always the one lobbying around here for letting people come at the cheapest possible price, and we try to keep our prices cheap. And please know, people, we are not making money. This is not an enterprise for us. It just costs a lot of money to put on a first-class event in a basketball arena and to do it the way we feel like it needs to be done and the way people want it to be done. And so please know that. But I always want to do it at the lowest price. So I think we should give a Passion Podcast listener discount to Atlanta number 2 right now. What do y'all think? Can we do this? Okay, we're getting nods.
Wow.
We're getting nods. So the price just went up to $189, which is what currently it costs to register for Passion. Atlanta number 2, this is the weekend of the 16th to the 18th of January. Right now, I'm just going to say it's November 10th today, and I'm going to say for 10 days from November 10th to November 20th, if you register for Passion Atlanta and you put in the promo code podcast, okay, not podcast, okay, just podcast, in the promo code you put podcast, you're going to get $20 off. It's going to revert back to the price before the price break 3 days ago, $169 for 10 days. So listen, if you're listening right now and it's next year, like Passion 2016, and you're just catching up on your podcast, it's not going to work, okay? If you're listening on December 3rd, it's not going to work. But if you're listening from November 10th to November 20th, you want to come to Passion Atlanta, number 2, January 16th to 18th, just go in there, register, and put on podcast, and it will work. And I know some of you devious people are thinking right now, ooh, what if my friend puts in podcast? Well, they can't do that unless they listen to the podcast, and then they can do that. If they listen to the podcast, then they can use the code. If you're bringing a whole group, you need to get your group together, play the podcast, and then use the code. No, for real.
We've gone off the grid. This has never been done before.
We're off the grid, you know, but come on. It's Thanksgiving. It's a holiday season. People are being grateful right now, and I think this is an amazing thing. We got somebody from Berry College, right? And they want to go, and they're thinking, I could save $20, and my friend from Florida State could save $20 because I'm going to tell them about the podcast code, and I'm going to have them listen, of course, but I'm going to tell them about the code, and they're going to save. And then my other friend from East Carolina University is going to come down and join us. That's three of us saving $20 a piece, and that's $60. And we can get a hotel room for one night for $60 if we get the right hotel at the right place.
It might not.
Okay, we can get a motel room for $60. And a motel room is better than sleeping outside. So this is working right now. I feel like this is working. Atlanta 2, November 10th to the 20th, $20 off.
Podcast in the podcast. Special code box on the registration.
Podcast.
So any other good news, or is it time for Matt Chandler?
I think it's time for Matt Chandler. And so let's take a short break. Let's listen to a little bit of the Passion Take It All album. We'll be right back in 20 seconds and Matt Chandler. Hey guys, it's Matt Chandler joining us today on the Passion Podcast live from, I don't know where you are, Matt. Are you in, could be anywhere.
No, I am in Dallas, rainy Dallas, Texas today.
Rainy Dallas, Texas. And what's the mood in Dallas right now? I know the hopes were high. It's like a best start in years. And then there was that loss. Romo got hurt. Now he played the Cardinals and got destroyed. So what is the mood and the temperature right now?
Well, you know what? I think hopeful. So we'll just have to wait and see. I think they've played terribly. And so it doesn't matter who the quarterback is. If you don't block and catch, you don't win. So that's universally true at every level of football. If you don't block and catch, it doesn't matter if the Apostle Paul is back there with a healing handkerchief and nothing's happening.
Well, that's good to know. And I'm sure that if Jerry Jones could get the Apostle Paul in his healing handkerchief, he's probably working on that right now.
Well, you couldn't buy him. That would be the problem.
Yes, that would be the difficult problem. Hey, thanks for joining us on the Passion Podcast. I have to tell you, on behalf of so many people, that we are really thrilled, and I mean that, that you are going to be joining us for Passion Houston this year. It's the first time, really, that all of the worlds have aligned in the right way for you to be a part of this gathering, and I don't know why that's taken so long, but I think the timing is perfect, and I know so many people are excited about it, and we're thrilled about being back in Houston for the second time. But having you join us this year is just a big, big thing, big treat for all of us. So thank you for being a part, and we're excited about it, looking forward to it. And I know you've got some history and with Passion that maybe a lot of people don't know about. So tell people about your personal journey with Passion and how all that's kind of coming full circle when we get to Houston in a few weeks.
Yeah, well, Passion for me, specifically Passion 1997, I think made really the whole trajectory of my life kind of turn. And, you know, up until the point, I've been a Christian for just a little over 5 years at that time, and was always a voracious reader, and, you know, just kind of devoured what anybody handed me. And yet, in the middle of that, I don't know that I had come across anyone who I would describe as kind of a big God theologian. And so it was a lot of stuff about me and about what my Christian life looked like. And so, you know, I'm there, Passion 97, with some friends, and man, you know, this little guy gets up in this tweed awful jacket and you know, preaches a sermon on
easy on the jacket. He's going to have that same one on this year.
Oh, sure. Well, yes, it might be the only one he has. No, I think he has one dark one. And Piper started talking, you know, just said, hey, did Christ die for God, or did he die, you know, for us? Well, to me, of course he died for us, because I'm awesome, you know, flaws of heaven. He can't wait for me to get there, you know. He's, you know, and so then he just simply painted a picture of the sovereignty and majesty of God in a way that I'd never heard it and had no framework for it in that moment. And man, it just crushed me. And so, man, I sat in my seat and probably cried for an hour. And then, you know, when I got up that night, I wanted to see the Lord like that. I wanted to understand the Lord like that. And it was the first time I kind of felt free from myself and free from kind of performance-based spirituality, and just got to marvel at his size and his holiness and his grandeur in a way that it really led to all sorts of things, you know, everything from me pastoring a church to, you know, the bout with brain cancer, being able to just really lean in and trust that the Lord is good, even though I couldn't make sense of it all. And it being okay, of course I can't make sense of it all. He's just that big, but he's also that good. And so really that was for me a massive turning point in how I saw the Bible and really my hermeneutic of where I laid what had the authority in my life. I think before 97, I would have placed a greater emphasis on experience and a lesser emphasis on the scriptures. And coming out of Passion, I mean, almost that quick, I put a greater emphasis on the scriptures and was more skeptical of my experiences, or rather would define my experiences via the Bible now. And so, I don't even know that even I've articulated well enough really what happened to me on that night.
Yeah, that's so powerful. I get that. You know, I have a somewhat similar experience in that I say to people, I've had a couple of big, you know, revelational Everest in my life. I always known about the gospel, put my faith in Jesus at an early age, made a decision to really truly follow Jesus in college. But, you know, the whole idea of grace, the other half of grace, which is that Christ doesn't just die to get you to heaven, but he lives so that you can make it through earth. Christ in you, the hope of glory, was a big Everest for me, and getting to the top of that, everything was different. Getting to Texas seminary years and understanding that worship wasn't three songs before the guy talked or the person talked, but worship was a lifestyle, and it was all of me in response to God. That was a big hill for me that changed everything. But then I sat in a conference one day and I listened to Piper talk, and man, the light bulb went on in a pretty massive way, and I started realizing, oh, this story is about God and his glory. And when that happens, you know, you all of a sudden, every story, every page, every chapter, every line of scripture, you're like, oh, there it is again. Oh, yeah. There it is again. Oh, there it is again. I don't know how I missed that.
I was surprised I was so blind to it before.
Exactly. I'm like, how did I miss this before? But I think, you know, we want to be myopic. I think that's one of the sin effects, is that we're myopic to start with. And even once we come to know Christ, if we don't really get our eyes into the Word, we still stay myopic, even though Jesus has been added to the story. And I love what you said. And can you expand on that a little bit, Matt? Because it just really lit me up when you said it, that before that, your life in faith was defined by your experiences. After that, your experiences were more defined or refined by what you were actually reading in Scripture. Talk a little bit more about that.
Yeah, well, I think everybody, if you listen to dialogues today, regardless of what the dialogue is about, in evangelicalism, in the Christian community, people are going to approach topics, they're going to approach how they see the world via hermeneutics, right? Where they place the weight of the argument. And so some people are going to put that in culture, some people are going to put that on Scripture, some people are going to put that on their own personal experience, and then some people are going to put that on the Bible. And so the direction and the order of importance really is how your Christianity is shaped. It's does the Word of God get to define that, or does my experience get to define that? And I think up until that moment, you know, I got to decide that. And so I got to decide what was sinful and what was not. I got to decide what aspects of my life needed to be laid down and surrendered and what aspects didn't. And then it was really after that night that the hermeneutic shifted from experience, culture, Bible, with my greatest skepticism on the Bible. Even though I loved the Bible and would even say that I was building on the Bible, I still, you know, I didn't quite understand, okay, how does this historically work? And, you know, what do I do with you know, the church at one point embracing slavery? And what do I do with, you know, those were the kind of skepticisms I had. And then it was really after that night, seeing God for who He was, that my hermeneutic was reordered, and the Bible became that place where I'm like, okay, I know this is true, so how does this bear its weight on my life, my thinking, how I approach money, how I approach marriage, how I approach raising children? I mean, I wasn't asking children questions back then, of course, but that was the switch, is this book given to me by God to disclose God to me. And to lead me into the fullness of life, it is going to have to be submitted to, or I'm going to be out of step with who God designed me to be and out of step with what God wants to do. And that's really what changed.
Yeah, that's so great. And I think that, you know, obviously in the culture, in the milieu of where we're finding ourselves leading and navigating right now, that's exactly, in my opinion, the shift that has to take place for people to really experience the fullness of what God has designed for them, what He's dreaming for them in their lives. And how outside of, you know, you had that moment, Matt, how do people come to that moment? I mean, somebody might be saying, well, okay, you had that sitting in Passion 97 in that session, you weren't really looking for it. How do I come to that shift or that change in my life?
Well, I think one of the things I've always appreciated about Passion is their desire for us to come prepared and ready. And so thinking about what's about to happen in the next couple of weeks and just a prayerfulness, a move and a prayerfulness and a desire for your own heart to go to deeper places. And, you know, I think about those Psalms of David when he's talking about being a deer panting for water. And, you know, and then in Psalm 27, the one thing I ask and all that I seek is to dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. I mean, this earnest desire to know the Lord fully and to walk with Him most closely, I think it all kind of starts there, because even in my early days of immaturity in the faith, and I'm definitely not in that sentence trying to claim that I'm fully mature now, but there's a deep desire just to know the Lord. I loved the Lord, and I wanted to understand. And I think by the Lord's grace, I had an openness of heart to hear and to be shaped. And so I think there's a real desire to know the Lord, to have openness of heart, not a kind of cocky arrogance that you've already figured it out, you've got it all, then I think the Lord meets us in that space where we desire Him.
Yeah, and so all of a sudden you find yourself with a diagnosis of a brain tumor. Obviously, no one sees that coming, and you've got this foundation that's been put under you, and you alluded to it a few minutes ago, but how different was it for you hearing that diagnosis, beginning to walk into the treatment regimen that, that you and Lauren, your family, had to walk through? How different was it because God was big than do you think it would have been with the God that you had before?
Yeah, well, I mean, in just kind of, I've always tried to have full disclosure here on this, but the original kind of diagnosis for me, man, made the bottom fall out. I mean, I just wasn't expecting it. I wasn't, you know, at that point, life had just been so good. I thought, okay, this is a bump and we'll keep moving. And to hear, no, you're probably going to die in 2 years at, you know, 36. That made the floor drop out. And then what I found is right about the time I almost ran out of tears, there was that firm foundation again. There was that guarantee that there's no condemnation for me. There's that kind of weight that what was happening is a punitive, but the Lord is somehow at work. And although I wouldn't say that God gave me brain cancer, he definitely could have stopped it and chose not to, so that the Lord was at work. And then because big God theology had helped me see myself as a part of God's plan and not God's plan, then I could kind of just embrace the idea that God is at work in my heart. He's using me for his glory. And this is part of my journey, both for my own joy and for the glory of God. And so I'm going to find the Lord in this time and in this place to be rich and sweet and near and good. And so let me lean into that and find those places where he has guaranteed me he would meet me. And then he did. And so I think if I hadn't known that, I wonder if I would have recovered after that initial floor dropping out on me. I wonder if I'd have given myself over to despair or lost heart altogether, or maybe even felt like the Lord's betrayed me. You know, I've been working so hard for him and sharing the gospel and winning my neighbors to Christ, you know, preaching my guts out. You know, I wonder if I would have felt betrayed by the Lord.
So how do you reconcile that tension point, Matt, of, you know, I want God to be glorified. I know this is a part of a bigger plan and a bigger story, and I just want whatever is happening through this cancer to be used to glorify God. And then at the same time, there's this obviously a desire in your heart that you want God to heal you. You know, he can heal
sure.
you. And obviously
yeah.
people live in that tension. And so how do you navigate as a pastor somebody through that particular tension?
Yeah. You know, what was interesting to me I think one of the ways that the Lord's really been generous to me is I've got friends all over what we could just call the theological map, and we would have strong disagreements with each other while still having a mutual love for one another. And one of the things that began to happen is my big God friends would start talking about the will of God and how, you know, if it's the will of God, it'll be done. And then my charismatic friends were very much, if you have enough faith, he's going to heal you. And I found both of these answers to be a bit lacking. And so the way I've pastored and the way I understood it, even as I battled, is the Bible's clear that I'm to ask for the Lord to heal me, and then I am to fully expect and believe that he will heal me. But that ultimately I have to hold that with an open hand, knowing that the will of God is going to be done. And that God's will is beyond my understanding and is accomplishing my good and his glory. And that 10,000 years from now, any pain or suffering that I endure, or any loss that I feel like I experience, will be a former thing, no longer be remembered. And so that's how I pastor people. And then let's pray. Let's ask God to heal you. Let's believe that he is going to heal you. And then let's hold that open with an open hand and let the Lord execute his will. But let's earnestly plead. Let's earnestly fight. Let's fast. Let's pray. Let's ask. And then hold it open-handed, because we just don't know. We just don't know what the will of the Father is. And the will of the Father will be done. It's not going to not be done. But I've been told in the scriptures to get the elders around me, to take medicine, to pray, to let them lay hands on me, to ask the Lord. And I wanted to believe. And where I would waver in belief, and that happened often, you know, then I would just ask, like the disciples, to help me increase my faith, help me.
Yeah. And so somebody, I was having that conversation with someone just recently, and I was navigating down a track very similar to that. And they said, so if I'm going to just hold it all open and say, God, whatever your will is going to be done, why don't we just jump to that step and skip over all the asking and believing and praying? And why don't we just skip over everything and just to the end and say, God, our hands are open. We just want your will to be done.
Yeah, I mean, I think that sounds really beautiful for someone who isn't, you know, in the muck and the mire and in the mess. Body isn't breaking down. And so there's an intimacy that comes from crawling up to the Father's lap and pleading with him in a way that he has asked you to plead with him. And so that, to me, some of the more intimate moments with the Lord in my life were laying on the bathroom floor, barely having enough strength to pull myself back up on the toilet to vomit again, not knowing if I was going to vomit blood this time because of the sheer amount of it, and just crying out to the Lord and finding him there and having this kind of supernatural warm blanket on my soul in the middle of what was a terrible situation. And so I'm just trying to think of how that would work, where I'm on the floor and not going, please, Lord, help me. Please, Lord, heal me from this. Please, Lord, do a work in that moment of depth and desperation and pain, and instead laying there on the floor and going, your will be done, your will be done. And so, to me, the intimacy was pleading with the Lord to work and to sustain and strengthen my hands and enable me and empower me to glorify him regardless of how this was going to end, to feel myself wavering, to ask the Lord for mercy and strength and have him deliver it.
Yeah, that's so powerful, so powerful. I know that you have a giant heart for students. You always have from your cowboy days back at Hardin-Simmons University, Abilene, Texas, and you had a heart for that campus and even for that city in the earliest of days before you were a church planner and the leader of a church planning network and all the other things that Matt Chandler is about. What is your best hope for a student walking through the door, Passion 2015, Houston, Texas?
Yeah, I think, again, if we can expand our view of who God is based on what the Word of God says about him, then every peak and every valley gets put in its right and good place. And so to know that it's not all about us, and that's the best news in the universe, I think it's monumentally important for students, and that where we learn about this great and mighty God is the Bible. I'm just mortified at what appears to be just an increasing lack of biblical literacy.
Yeah, so people want to talk about, I love Jesus, I want to be with Jesus, but you don't hear a lot of people talking about the breadth of Scripture and an ability to understand for themselves, really, what is God saying from the beginning to the end of this narrative that we call Scripture. And I know biblical literacy is a big move that's come out of your house. Why do you think that is, that people have sort of ebbed into low biblical literacy, and what are a few steps people can take to start moving the other direction, and why does it matter? Why can't we just all love Jesus and all meet in the middle?
I'll start with why it matters. If I were to call my wife right now and just say, Lauren, man, I'm missing you right now. I just can't wait to run my fingers through your black hair and gaze deeply into your green eyes. And just can't wait to do that. Now that people might hear that and go, oh gosh, she's so romantic. Except that my wife has blue eyes and she has blonde hair. So now, you know, I'm complimenting Lauren on things that aren't true about Lauren. And as far as my wife goes, that's offensive to my wife. So I honestly think that what's going on is that it's easier for us to create a Jesus that nobody gets angry at, that everybody loves, and that everyone will worship. It's kind of giving Jesus a makeover than the one that we see in Scripture. And when we see Jesus in Scripture, worship should increase, but as worship increases in our hearts, the world isn't going to understand us. They are going to think we're a little goofy. I think we're trying to make cool what was never meant to be cool. And I think, honestly, what we see in the Bible is going to press us in ways that make us uncomfortable. It's in the Scriptures that God is going to disagree with us. And we don't want God to disagree with us. We want to conform them into our own image. And I think that's what's driving a lot of it.
Yeah. So four quick questions. Number one, what's the number one message Matt Chandler has for young leaders right now?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's a no-brainer for anybody who listens to me, that the gospel isn't just the thing that saves us, but it sustains us and shapes us and holds us fast to the end, that we never get away from the gospel message.
What's the best thing going about the church in America, 2014?
Well, I think there's a real zeal to see people come to know and love and worship Jesus, and my hope is a growing desire to be salt and light in an ever-increasing darkness.
What is causing you the greatest anxiety as you look around at the churches of America in 2014?
Yeah, I think the greatest anxiety for me is that the gathering of the saints has turned much more into an evangelistic, entertainment-driven idea rather than the spiritual formation of the saints, understanding that those who don't know him are among us. And so when the gathering on Sunday morning ceases to be about spiritual formation and instead becomes kind of an entertainment for watered down entertainment for lost people, then I think it loses what it was meant to be. And it's never been viewed as that until, honestly, just the last kind of 100 years has the church ever been viewed as that. It's always been viewed as the gathering of the saints for the spiritual formation of the saints with the view that lost men and women are there. It was only in the rise of revivalism that all of a sudden Sunday gathering became all about, you know, reaching lost people. So then so what crept in with that? Easy believism, you don't have to really show signs of regenerance or love for the Lord. You know, it's not a disciple, it's a convert.
So the fourth question is probably the most important one. And I don't really want to get into sticky stuff here that, you know, it's just a podcast. We're not trying to change the world. But the Dallas Stars hockey team, to me, you know, it's just an interesting thing. We've got the Cowboys. That's really what it's about. We've got the Mavericks. That's, you know, they have their ups and downs. And they got Dirk Nowitzki, who is one of the greatest, you know, team players of all time. And then you got the Dallas Stars. The Dallas Stars. And this never fully made sense to me. So I just want to get the Matt Chandler understanding of, because we got Texas Rangers, I don't want to leave them out, but try not to talk about people when they're down and give people an opportunity to, you know, pile on when people are hurting and weak and that sort of thing. So I'm just going to go back to the Stars for a minute. Will the Stars ever really work in Dallas? Is that season gone with Mike Modano? Was that like the heyday? And after that, it's just never going to be the same again. And should we just maybe move them back to a nice Canadian city where they can live happily ever after?
You know, that's a great question. I think we can make anything work in Dallas. So, you know, we've already got the cup once. I think they can rebuild, retool. It's all about cash flow. So let's go buy some hitters and scorers and whatever else plays in hockey and see if we can't win it again.
That's a great answer. That's a great answer. Hey, listen, we're so excited to have you coming and join us in Houston, Texas. We're excited to be in Texas, for crying out loud, and being in Houston, very close to where the birthplace of all this happened anyway. College internship for me,
awesome.
Way back in the day in 1983 when college ministry was not on my radar at all, and God gave me an assignment to be a summer college intern at a great church in Houston, Texas, and that was the first domino that knocked over a lot of other dominoes. But just to see all those things come full circle, for you to be back with us in Houston this year, thank you for being a part of it. Just want to invite anybody out there, any Harden Simmons Cowboys that might be listening today,
come and
join us as well. Abilene Christian University, college, whatever they're called now. I can't remember their mascot, though. It's gone. You would know it.
They're Wildcats. I don't know either.
Okay, there you go. Yeah, the Wildcats. We want them to come as well. Anybody from the Dallas area, we're just looking for people from Texas, Oklahoma, all that Southwest and West. This is their opportunity. Passion Houston. Matt, thanks for joining us today. Hello to everybody in Dallas, to all your family. Give our love, and we look forward to seeing you in a couple of weeks.
Well, I appreciate that. You guys take care.
All right. Thank you.
Blessings.
Wow. What a substantial and powerful interview with Matt Chandler. And I love the fact that he's been on the journey he's on. I've known Matt a long, long time. And there's so much depth there. And I can't wait to have him a part of our team, Passion 2015 Houston. So it's going to be great. We're going to have Aggie sit next to her. The Golden Hurricane.
It's just 3 months away from Passion Houston, 2 months from Passion Atlanta, number one. And then a few weeks after that, we'll be back in Phillips Arena for Passion Atlanta, number two. If you're not a college student, because I know there's a lot of former Passion people that listen and just people around the country and around the world, just figure out who you know that could be at Passion and just call and encourage them, text them, even help pay for their spot. Louis, I know we talked about it at PCC on Sunday. We asked everybody at our church who was a college student to raise their hand, and at the end of the gathering, people were coming up and helping pay for their spot so they could be in the room. So
that's so great. Yeah. So if you're not thinking, you can't be a door holder, you're not 18 to 25, why don't you look around in your town and your church, maybe in your company, and find some college kids and say, hey, you know about Passion? You want to go? Because I'm going to pay for it. And that investment, who knows what the return on that is going to be. We're praying for you guys. I know coming into that tough part of the semester, just stay focused. Take it a day at a time. Know that God's going to give you what you need today. Don't put off to tomorrow what you can do today. If you can study today, study today. If you can read that chapter today, read it today. If you can work on that assignment a little bit today, go ahead and do it today. You're going to feel so much better tomorrow if you do it today. And day by day, God's going to give you the grace you need. Before long, you're going to be home with your family, sitting around that fried turkey. You're going to be excited. And in a couple of weeks, we're all going to be together lifting up a huge shout for Jesus. We want you to know we love you today. I know a lot of you guys feel lonely. A lot of you feel isolated. A lot of you feel very included. But God is with you. God has a plan for every single life, every person listening to this podcast today. And your Passion family loves you. We believe in you. We're praying for you today. Keep your eyes up and on Jesus, and he will lead you through. We'll see you guys next time. Got a great interview coming, Brad, on our next Passion podcast. Stay tuned. Whatever is true.